Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Our broadcast is designed to motivate you, our listener, to become informed and inspired, challenged, encouraged, and educated as to what's taking place in our nation today that are issues that should concern all of us as Christians. I pray that as you tune in each day, you will be in prayer for the broadcast, and also pray that if you are being blessed by, informed, challenged, and encouraged by the broadcast, that you would prayerfully consider financially supporting this broadcast ministry. It's a ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church, and we are dependent upon not only our membership and the underwriting and support of this broadcast, but also you, our listener. We have a number of folks that have said we're praying for you, and I'm saying to each of you, as you pray for us, write a check, send it, made out to First Conservative Baptist Church, specifically for the Let's Face the Issues radio broadcast. We're looking forward to having you become a participant, not just a hearer, but a doer in relationship to what we're doing on the air each day. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we're doing so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not an ideological thing, a philosophical thing. It's not a denominational rites, rituals, rules, or regulation issue. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. Jesus reminded his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we look at each issue each day based on the authority of Scripture, and how should we handle that issue? As Francis Schaeffer said so many years ago, how should we then live? What ought we to do in relationship to what we see taking place in society, and how should we respond from a biblical basis? Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to be talking about making the Bible palatable. Palatable. You understand that term? Making the Bible acceptable, making the Bible become palatable and acceptable in society and the society in which we're living. The mantra from society today seems to be, God is love and God loves you just as you are. It doesn't make any difference what you do or how much sin you're in and how it pervades your life. Then you still are just simply loved. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a nuance of truth to that. But in God's love, he also chastens the sinner because of the sin. If anyone uses the Bible verses to confront or to condemn sin, much of society will scream and yell, hate speech, hate speech, hate speech. We have so much of that going on today. I'm embarrassed for society even in seeing them call everything, every nuance of what the Word of God says and what Christians say, it being called hate speech. And it's designed to try to silence the Christian and the churches. For example, the Southern Poverty Law Center, known as the SPLC, in their, if you please, in their sense of wanting to control what we as Christians say or do, and Christian ministries and the stand that we take based on the Word of God, they have developed a program simply calling many Christian churches and Christian ministries and organizations hate speech and hate mongers. For example, in the SPLC's organizational structure, conservative Christian and Christian ministries are labeled hate groups, If you oppose homosexuality, then you're a hate monger. If you oppose Islamic jihadists, then you are speaking hate. If you believe in that abortion is murder, then you're a hate monger. If you believe that Christians have a First Amendment right of religious free speech, including the cake bakers and the florists and the ones that are involved in their work slash ministry for the Lord and refuse to bake a sodomite cake or to perform a sodomite wedding, then all of a sudden you're considered a hate monger. I'm delighted to announce to you, though, however, ladies and gentlemen, the Southern Poverty Law Center just lost a case where they had labeled an individual a hate monger, and that individual just collected $3.375 million. You heard me, $3.375 million as a result of being labeled a hate speech person. It's an impossibility for us to sit back in silence. We must respond in like fashion that we might protect the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that particular person that won that settlement was not one that was in ministry, but it simply was one that was talking about Islam and the dangers of Islam because he had come out of Islam, and because of his coming out of Islamic jihadist, he knew exactly what was taking place, and he started spreading the information and was considered a hate monger. As a result of that, he filed suit, won the suit, and hopefully, prayerfully, that will cause some moderation of the SPLC calling other organizations, or Christians in particular, hate mongers with hate speech. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that person was called a radical hate person, but it's not bad enough to see that. It's bad enough, I should say, to see that. But ladies and gentlemen, just recently, Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, had two billboards. And on the billboards, he simply put the title of his message that he'll be preaching on June the 24th, that is this Sunday. He happened to put the title of that on the billboard. In fact, I'm looking at a picture of the billboard now. It said, "Special Message, America is a Christian Nation." And has Dr. Jeffers' picture on the billboard. And over to the side, it says, "Freedom Sunday at First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, June 24th, 9:15 a.m. and 10:50 a.m. Ladies and gentlemen, you would have thought that he had murdered the president with that billboard. He had two of them put up. And as a result of that, the mayor, through the Dallas Morning News newspaper, called the billboard unacceptable, called it unacceptable for the community, and said it did not represent the community standards. It did not represent what Dallas community stands for. It did not represent all of the people. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the mayor of the city got really up in arms and really condemnatory for the church. The billboard company then was put under pressure, and they had to remove the two billboards. Fortunately, another billboard company said, no, we're going to put the billboards up for you. And they put up 20 billboards. Let me just read you some excerpts from this frightening article. Ladies and gentlemen, this is frightening when we understand what's happening today in our culture, what's happening today in society, where the church and pastors and the Christian voice and the Christian ministry is being maligned and hated. Jesus, by the way, in 1 John 3:13, the Bible reminds us, "Marvel not that the world hate you." Jesus had already reminded us in the scripture that if the world hates you, remember it hated me first, Jesus speaking. But here's the article about America is a Christian Nation. It's really and truly faith under fire in this article. Billboards promoting a celebration of faith and freedom at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, were removed after complaints from the Dallas mayor, Mike Rawlins, and the Dallas Morning News. The patriotic billboard campaign included the title of the sermon Dr. Robert Jeffers planned to deliver on June 24th. Title of the message, "America is a Christian Nation." We're told by the billboard company that the message was divisive, according to Dr. Jeffers. The sermon title was inspired by comments, Dr. Jeffers said, made by the Supreme Court Justice John Jay, and David Josiah Brewer, both of whom described America as a Christian nation. Quote, the message will present the historical evidence for the bedrock of faith upon which America was founded, said Jeffers. Ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in this dialogue and discussion at any point in time by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That telephone call gets you right through to the microphone at the studios so we can have this dialogue and discussion today that I believe is absolutely needful and necessary. We're talking about the subject, making the Bible palatable. Is that what Christians ought to do? Should Christians make it palatable, make it so smooth and easy, and there's no conviction of sin, that the world just accepts the Scripture and what the Bible says? This article continues. However, the Dallas Morning News and Mayor Rawlings blasted the pastor's sermon title, suggesting it was hateful and divisive. Hear those two words? The mayor of Dallas, Texas, and the Dallas Morning News, the key newspaper in Dallas, Texas, suggested that the title of the message for Dr. Jeffers, America is a Christian Nation, is hateful and divisive. Further, the article says, that is not the Christ I follow, the mayor told the newspapers. It's not the Dallas that I want to be affiliated with. It is not the Dallas that unites it, but divides us. I have never heard those words that the voice came out of Christ. Just the opposite. I was brought up to believe, be proud of yours, but do not diminish mine. End quote. It's an asinine, stupid statement, if I can be bold enough to say that, by the mayor. I don't care what he professes about saying that that's not the Christ that he knows. Well, if that's not the Christ he knows, ladies and gentlemen, may I be bold enough to say he's serving the wrong Christ. It's as simple as that. It's a dumb, stupid, ignoramus, non-theological, unbiblical, non-Christian statement that he just made. If you're going to demean the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, because of the sermon title, America is a Christian Nation, then what you're doing, you're denying and refuting the fundamental, foundational bedrock of the formation of America. Columnist Robert Walensky started the controversy with a scathing column on June 7th titled First Baptist Church, Dr. Robert Jeffers' Gospel of Division Does Not Represent My Dallas. He goes on to say, my rabbi warned me that I would see days like this. All I saw Wednesday was someone telling me and everyone else who does not worship Jesus Christ that they do not belong here. The article continues, the following day, the church received a message from the billboard company that their signed contract was being canceled and the billboard would be taken down. Quote, the billboard people said this, we're getting hammered by the media for the America is a Christian Nation tagline on the billboards. A representative of Outfront Media, keep that in mind, if you're in business, just refuse to do business with them. The cowardice, non-recognition of the religious liberties and the freedom of speech in our First Amendment. Outfront Media wrote to the church leader, Dallas Morning News and other news affiliates are doing stories on how it's offensive and bigoted. Someone called our corporate office in New York about the offensive, bigoted billboard, and following our lawyer's advice, we have taken them down. The church offered to revise the sermon to simply call, Is America a Christian Nation? But that too was rejected by the billboard company. We were told that the title was anger-provoking rather than thought-provoking. Now, the local representative was apologetic, but it was clear that the New York-based company could not match the anger toward Christians. The reason those on the left do not want people to hear my message, Dr. Jeffers is saying, is that they know the historical evidence is on my side that America was founded on the principles of Christian faith. We will not be deterred as we defend the fundamental foundational values of our country. He goes on to say, and may I wrap it up with this statement. It should greatly concern people of any faith when those in the press or government provocatively seek to defeat, censor, or silence any religious message with which they happen to disagree. We don't believe Dallas City officials have any right, listen, any right to directly or indirectly be involved in censoring a church's message. Now, the mayor went on to say, "I don't oppose the billboard," the mayor told me in a written statement. "My Christian faith teaches me not to be judgmental and to love those that differ than me. I also believe that, and as an American, I can honor my devout Christian beliefs and still respect the fact that this is a diverse world and I represent a diverse constituency. Those two thoughts can go together. I don't believe that the billboard captured those important nuances." As for the bastion of free speech known as the Dallas Morning News, listen, for the Dallas Morning News, who pose as champions of free speech, to try to censor our church message is grossly hypocritical, Pastor Jeffers said. But the fortunate thing is, another billboard company stepped up and said, "We'll not only provide two, but we'll provide 20 billboards." Ladies and gentlemen, the nation is in jeopardy when there's a sense that somehow, some way, the Bible and Christian presentation of the gospel must be palatable to the world. Jesus reminds us in the Gospels that when Jesus Christ comes into a family, it even divides the family. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call 401-1413. Join in this dialogue and discussion. I believe we have a caller on the line. Tom, go ahead with your comments or your question, please.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on point, Dr. Youngblood. You're exactly right that we're under attack, that it is a Christian nation. It was found by Christians fleeing Europe for persecution. But boy, oh boy, is that just being turned around. And we're not a Muslim nation. We're not an atheist nation. We're a Christian nation. But that's really under attack. And I fully believe the church is going to come more and more and more under attack. And like you say, the soft sell is what people seem to be going for. But when Christ went to the cross, that wasn't a soft sell. But I just thank you so much for speaking out with the truth. And Dr. Jeffries is also a firm believer in speaking out about the truth. But again, Dr. Youngblood, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you so much for your call, and you're exactly right. And I pray that you, our listeners, will participate in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 401-1413. Christianity is under attack. Christian faith is under attack. The church is under attack. The pastors that preach the truth of the gospel are totally under attack. It is the hatred and the animus of the lost world that is attacking everything that is called Bible and Christianity. Here's an article that says, "Criticize child abuse on Facebook and you get banned for hate speech." The article goes on to say, "Posting a video on Facebook in which an adult is seen enthusiastically indoctrinating very young children in the wonders of being homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or gay icon, or at the very least a gay ally, is just fine. But if you post on Facebook calling it wrong and calling it child abuse, then all of a sudden what you've done is hate speech." Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad commentary today that we have through the different social media outlets, Facebook included, Google included, and multitudes of others that's being used. They've determined that they're going to be the final arbiter of what is truth and what is error. They've determined they're going to be the final arbiter of what Christians can say and what Christians cannot say. This article goes on to tell us that this pro-homosexual Canadian television host Jessica Chernot promotes the young children's sexual diversity, and it's being presented on Facebook. And it's the coming out of the closet, the importance of kids being gay allies, and even explains how she had questions about her own sexuality as a child, and when she watched over and over and over nude pictures, et cetera, et cetera. And I won't even read on the air what the article states. then she was, she did not say it, but she was desensitized, and now she's one of the major advocates for allowing children to watch and to be involved in pornography and absolute acts of lesbianism and homosexuality and sodomy, as the Bible calls it. And because some dear person on Facebook called that child abuse, then all of a sudden Facebook called that hate speech and banned that further person from being on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should the Bible, should Christianity, could Christian gospel messages be watered down to the point that it becomes palatable for the heathen world in which we're living in today? You heard me right. We should love everybody. That's true. God says it, and that settles it. But that doesn't mean that we're to tolerate or to embrace the ungodly, unholy, immoral lifestyle that's being perpetrated in society today. And there's an attempt to force the church to accept it. In fact, the Bible is banned in most public schools in America. Prayer is banned in most public schools, if not all, in America. And yet we find the watered-down message of so many pulpits today to make it palatable that it is simply ooey-gooey goosebump theology, and I call it voodoo theology, because you won't find it in the Scripture. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in most of our schools today, you can have Islamic prayers. In fact, you may not be aware of it, but many of the schools, even in high schools, colleges and universities, the public schools, the public universities and colleges, those, when I say public, I'm using the term public because they're funded by taxpayer dollars. They have special prayer time that's allocated and authorized for the Muslim students to go and pray. Special prayer for Christians is banned in public schools, but the Muslims can freely pray. The cross is not allowed to be displayed in public schools, but Islamic prayers and prayer rugs are provided by the schools at taxpayer dollars. Christians cannot be taught. Christianity cannot be taught in the public schools, but Islam is taught in just about every public school across America. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a son or daughter in school, or if you have a grandchild in school, study, look at the material that they're being taught. Ask them if anything is being taught in the schools. In fact, some schools are asking students to pretend a transition from Christianity to Islam and to recite the prayer for Islam, the conversion prayer for Islam. There are those that will schools that will have the program where the students asked to dress up as an Islamic person or to memorize surahs from the Quran. Christianity cannot be taught, but Islam is taught in our public schools. Sexual purity and chastity cannot be taught in our schools, but all kinds of sexual deviation and pornography and perversions and the LGBT videos and materials are flooding our classrooms under the guise of sex education. Christian pastors and Christian churches must realize that the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ is under fire in our nation today. We're watching the close of the church age. We're watching the close of the day of grace. We're watching coming to a very end when the church is raptured out, and then the Antichrist will be the one that's ruling and reigning, and as a result of that, will destroy anything that's called the church in that era. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We are now considered to be the enemy. Christians, Christian churches and pastors are considered the enemy of society. So should the churches and the Christians and pastors simply supply and provide a watered-down message? Should believers simply leave out much of what Jesus taught in the Scripture? Should we simply modify, modulate, and to leave out parts of the Scripture so that it doesn't offend anyone? Should churches become cowards and cower or in some way color the truth so that we'll not be demeaned? Ladies and gentlemen, Peter, when he was preaching on the sidewalks and was thrown in, beaten and thrown in prison and then told not to do that, he was released and he got out on the street corner and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they seized him and said, haven't we told you don't do this? And ladies and gentlemen, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. I'm embarrassed for any church. I'm embarrassed for any pastor. I'm embarrassed for any Christian that is so cowardice over the Word of God that you will not speak the truth in love. Yes, I'm saying speak the truth. That is the whole counsel of the Word of God. Don't try to short-circuit what God's Word says. Simply put, Christians make Christianity and the Word of God more palatable in society in general. How do they do that? Unfortunately, many churches and denominations are bending and bowing to the cultural norms. Many pastors and ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ have chosen not to preach and to teach the full gospel for fear of offending someone with the truth of God's word. Have you ever been there? Have you ever done that? Have you ever faced the enemy and they challenge you and chide you and say, that's hate speech, or they challenge you and chide you and say, that's just meanness and that you don't love people? Ladies and gentlemen, anytime you confront the world with the truth of the Word of God, they say, well, that's not love. You just don't love people. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus loved the world and gave himself on Calvary's cross for it. But yet he was demeaned and hated as being a bigoted person because of what he said. And he has already warned us in the Word that we are going to be persecuted. We will be hated because the world hated him first. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, there is a problem in society today when we try to make the Word of God palatable. With the advent, here's an article that says, it is the church's job to make God's Word. Is it the church's job to make God's word palatable to the world? It sure seems like much of the modern Christianity thinks so. The world doesn't believe in the need of being saved. Consequently, a God who sends his Son to die on the cross that the world might be saved through him is unpalatable. A more appealing message to a secular society and narcissistic culture is that Christ came into the world to affirm God's acceptance of everyone just as they are. Granted, you have to ignore troublesome passages in the scripture that speaks of peace by the blood of Christ and the blood of the cross. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the Word of God should not be palatable. The Word of God is designed to bring conviction in the heart of the sinner. In fact, most of the time today, when there's a watering down of the Word of God, they're doing so, churches and pastors and whole denominations are doing so that they can be accepted by society. If you say abortion is murder, then you're all of a sudden a bigot and hatred. If you say that sodomy is wrong and that God gave them up to a reprobate mind, then all of a sudden that's hate speech. If you say anything about Islamic jihadists, then all of a sudden that's hate speech. Never mind the fact that the Christian ought to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. If you say anything about pot, marijuana, and drugs, then somehow, some way, that's hate speech. If you say anything about drinking or adultery or lying or cheating or stealing, all of a sudden that's hate speech. And all of these things, ladies and gentlemen, today in many denominations are being watered down so that the truth of the Word of God becomes palatable to those that are at enmity with the church and with Jesus Christ. Jesus himself reminded us when the gospel comes into a home, that home is divided because there are those that love Jesus, those that hate Christ. So ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you, let me plead with you, let me beg you today, beseech you, do not water down the Word of God. Do not try to make it palatable for the lost world. Take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be faithful in serving him. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.